Please turn with me in your Bible then to Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, as we continue our four-part Christmas series on What Child Is This? As the titles for Jesus taken from these two verses. Last week we addressed The Babe is the Lord. This Sunday we'll address Jesus is the Christ. Reading from God's holy word, Luke 2, 11 and 12. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word of truth, your revelation to us. We would not know you if you had not revealed yourself to us. And in that revealing, dear Heavenly Father, you want relationship with us. And that relationship is through the Christ. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, your Spirit will illumine our minds today. Give us spiritual understanding of who the Christ is. And may we apply that to our own lives for your glory and our eternal good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the movie The Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye and his family are shown celebrating the Jewish Passover. What is noticeable is an empty chair at the head of the table. The empty chair is for Elijah. The Jews believe, according to Malachi 4:5, that Elijah the prophet will return as the forerunner of the coming one, the Christ, the Messiah. God says through Malachi, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." The majority of the Jews to this day are still waiting for Christ's coming, the Messiah's coming. In Luke 19, 41 to 44, it says Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because he said the Jews had missed the time or the day of their Messiah's, that is Jesus, visitation or coming. The result was that Jesus wept over the city because of the lost, unrepentant, hardened, unbelieving souls. So the gospel would go to the Gentiles, you and I, and the Jews would experience the horrors of the first Jewish revolt. Jesus spoke this prophecy in 30 AD, and in 70 AD, Titus the Roman general would level Jerusalem in exile over 1 million Jews in slavery. Rejection of Jesus brings retributive justice. If you read Romans 9 through 11, you'll know that God has not ultimately rejected his people Israel, but they've stumbled because they did not put their faith in Jesus the Christ, but rather sought to obtain their own righteousness through their man-made laws or their legalism. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now's the time of the Gentiles. And we, the Gentiles, have obtained mercy through their disobedience, and Israel awaits the day when the blindness will be removed. Jesus will come again. Zechariah 14:4 says his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, just to the east of Jerusalem, and they will look on him who they pierced, and they'll mourn for him as an only son. Zechariah 12:10. Jesus, the Christ, their Messiah, and essentially all Israel, will be saved. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, are unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:30. The two Old Testament books that say the most about the Christ or the Messiah are Isaiah and Zechariah. Sadly, today, many of the Jews are not even looking for the Messiah, their Messiah, the Christ. They're totally secular. In Luke 17, Jesus says this, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And the Jews that are looking for the Messiah today, they're not even looking for a heavenly being, a divine being. They're looking for merely a man. Max Nordau is a Reformed Jew, typical of the Jews who have given up messianic hope as set forth in the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. Here's what he said at a Zionist Congress, World War II, just before World War II. "We're ready to welcome any man as our Messiah, who will lead us back to our own land and establish us there in prosperity. In that sleepy, unenlightened, unexpected darkness of first century Israel in the field outside of Bethlehem, the Shekinah shone, the light of the glory of God, and the angelic hosts declared, 'Glory to God in the highest, Gloria in excelsis Deo,'" which was became a motto of the Reformation of Luther and Calvin. "And on earth they declared peace toward men of goodwill among those with whom God is pleased. The Christ, the Messiah, was born." Friends, who do you say Jesus is? Is he the Christ? If so, what does that mean to you? Can you declare from the heart, "Gloria in excelsis Deo"? Christ is the most common title for Jesus in all of Scripture, over 1,000 times. The Apostle Paul wrote so much of Jesus Christ or the Christ that most Christians assume that Christ is Jesus' name, not a title. B.F. Westcott said, "Now in one title and another, we catch glimpses of Jesus' ineffable glory. By God's Spirit, may we know what Christ means, and may that spiritual understanding heighten our praise and glorying in the Babe of Bethlehem this Christmas season." Follow along in the bulletin and the outline provided as we address the title today, "What Child Is This?" The first point is, what do Jews believe as to the Christ? Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. It signifies Savior or Deliverer that God had always promised to send. It means literally the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with olive oil as a sign of their office and their mission. The anointed person was consecrated or set aside for a certain God-given task. In first century Israel, there were three strands of messianic belief: a king, like David, a suffering servant of Israel, and a heavenly divine being who descends from heaven in order to judge the world. A king like David is clear that Christ would be a son, a descendant of David. He would be in that kingly line of David. The most common title for the Christ Messiah in the first century was Son of David. Why is that so? Because David, the Messiah's son, was common throughout the Old Testament teaching. The Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 16, Isaiah 11, 1 and 10, Jeremiah 23, 54. And also, the Messiah, the Christ, was even called David in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 30, verse 9, Ezekiel 34, 23, and Hosea 3, 5. As to the suffering servant of Israel, did you know that in the first century there were some scribes that believed that referred to the Christ? But over time, most of the scribes, those that interpreted the Jewish Old Testament and God's law, believed that the suffering servant referred to the nation of Israel. In fact, some Jewish scribes came up with two messiahs: Messiah ben Joseph, who would suffer and die, and Messiah ben David, who would conquer and rule. And we know from Scripture there is only one Messiah. And lastly, the belief that a Messiah or the Christ was a heavenly divine being who descends from heaven to judge the world. We look to the Messianic Psalms. Some of those are Psalm 2, 8, 16, 22, 45, and 110. Psalm 45, 6 says this: "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." What purely human king could be addressed as God? Psalm 110:1, David says, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right feet until I make your enemies your footstool. David declared that the Christ was both his Lord and his Son. Two natures in one person, the Incarnation. The Son of Man title is one that Jesus took from Daniel 7, 13 through 14. That was the most common title Jesus used for himself in Scripture. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's the third most common title for Jesus. The number one title is Christ over 1,000 times, and then it's Lord 747 times. And the third most common title is Son of Man 84 times in Scripture, 81 times from the lips of Jesus. Why did Jesus assume that title for himself as the Christ, the Messiah? Because of the Jews' messianic misunderstandings. And that misunderstanding is perpetuated even today. I wish I had a quarter for every time I heard somebody say, well, the Son of Man refers to Jesus' humanity, the Son of God refers to his deity. That is false. Jesus took that title again from Daniel 7, 13 through 14. And there is a king there who comes to the Ancient of Days, God, and he has an everlasting dominion. So Son of Man then refers to Jesus as representative man. It should be with a capital M. He was the sinless, pure Son of God, the perfect representative of us to God. And he also has an everlasting kingdom, which refers to his deity. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, we see, unto us a child is born, a son is given, human yet having divine titles, mighty God, everlasting Father. The religious establishment of Jesus' day, the Sadducees, Acts 23, 8, they didn't even believe in a resurrection, anything supernatural, angels or spirits. They didn't believe that the Messiah was a heavenly being, divine. So too the Pharisees, most of whom were scribes, they believed the Son of David was strictly a human king. In Matthew 22, 41 and 42, Jesus, when the Pharisees were assembled together, Jesus asked them, well, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they replied, the Son of David. And by that they meant merely a human king who they hoped would come and kick out the Roman usurpers who were occupying the throne in Israel. Every one of the Pharisees would say they knew who Jesus was in Mark 6, 3. He is the son of Joseph the carpenter and of Mary. Liberals today in the mainline churches, they don't believe in anything supernatural, anything miraculous, the virgin birth, the deity of Jesus, they deny. And they say that Jesus is merely a good human teacher. And he's a moral example to follow. A few years ago, there was a Washington State newspaper that quoted a liberal pastor. Said this, Jesus is not divine. And the only reason there's any controversy at all is because there's a bunch of people out there who say that Jesus is God. He likened Jesus to Mother Teresa or Cesar Chavez. Friends, the Old Testament is clear. The Messiah, the Christ, is divine. He's a Savior. He's a heavenly being and a human suffering servant. In Genesis 3, there are three great prophecies of the Messiah. In Genesis 3:15, the Proto-Evangelion, it's called, the first announcement of the gospel already in Scripture. And I will put enmity, the Lord God is speaking to the serpent here. And he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And seed there is capitalized S, referring to Jesus, the Christ. He shall crush your head and you shall bruise his heel. The Messiah, the Christ, would crush the devil and destroy his works. That's what Jesus said in 1 John 3, and I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Luke 11, 20 to 23, Jesus is the one who binds the strong man, Satan. And when did Jesus really crush Satan? Of course, it was at the cross. Another prophecy in Genesis is Genesis 22, 18. The angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, is speaking to Abraham. In your seed, singular again, capital, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Galatians 3, 16 says the same thing in referring to that text. Seed, singular, capitalized, referring to Jesus the Christ. All earth will be blessed through Abraham's seed, the Christ Jesus. Genesis 49:10 is the third prophecy. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh, or the Christ, the Messiah, comes. All rule is the Christ's, and all nations will eventually bow before him. Friend, who do you bow to? Bob Dylan, one time a very popular songwriter and singer in Minnesota, said, "Everybody's got to serve somebody." Well, he's right. All of us serve somebody, and ultimately, Scripture says every individual either bow to King Jesus or Satan. There's only two kings and two kingdoms. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Everything in heaven, all the holy angels in heaven, all the glorified saints, every occupant of heaven, and those on earth, every human being on earth, and those under the earth, all the demons, the unclean spirit, and Satan, they will all one day bow down to Christ, Jesus Christ the Lord. What child is this? The first point is, what do the Jews believe as to the Christ? The second point is, what is the biblical revelation of Jesus as the Christ? You'll know in the notice in the outline there, I've given you eight evidences from Scripture that affirm that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. First, Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, as he was. Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, Luke 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Secondly, the Messiah, Christ, was to be born of a virgin, as Jesus was. Isaiah 7:14, Luke 1:35, Mary was told that the Holy Spirit would overpower her, overshadow her, and that which was to be born in her was the Holy One, the Son of God. Matthew 1:18 through 25 says Emmanuel would be born of her, God with us. And three, the Messiah of the Christ was to be of the house of David, as Jesus was. The Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7, 6 through 18. And then read through the two genealogies in the gospel accounts. Matthew 1, 1 through 18, Jesus the Christ is the son of Abraham, the son of David. And in Luke 3, 23 to 38, it says the same. Four, Messiah's appearance would be preceded by a forerunner, as Jesus' appearance was, that of by John the Baptist. Malachi 4:5, Micah 11:14, 17, 12, and 13, Jesus says, "If you will receive it, Elijah has come." And his disciples knew they were referring to John the Baptist. Five, the Messiah would do great works and miracles, as Jesus did. Isaiah 61, Matthew 11, 1 through 16, John 5:36, Jesus says, "The works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Six, the Messiah would make a public entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, as Jesus did on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of his Passion Week, Matthew 21, 1 through 11, and Zechariah 9, 9. Number seven, the Messiah, the Christ, would be betrayed by a close friend for 30 pieces of silver, as Jesus was by Judas, who received 30 pieces of silver from the Sanhedrin for betraying Jesus. Psalm 41:9 and Zechariah 11:12 and Matthew 26:14 and 15. And lastly, number eight, the Messiah, the Christ, would have a ministry of poverty and suffering in his first coming and be rejected by Israel's leaders, as Jesus was. Isaiah 53:2 and 3 and Mark 3:6 and John 19:14 and 15, the religious leaders whipped up the crowd, and the crowd said, "Crucify him, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar." Friends, I ask you the question, after all that evidence that is given in Scripture, God's word of truth, who do you say Jesus is? Is he your Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the deliverer from sin? What child is this? The first point is, what do the Jews believe as to the Christ? The second point is, what is the biblical revelation of Jesus as the Christ? And the third point is, what is a biblical response to Jesus as the Christ? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign for you. You shall see a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." In Luke 2:10, it was good news. It says to the people. There should be the article there, the. The people refers to the Jews. But later in the chapter, it refers to Gentiles also. And also in the chapter, there's two references to you referring to the individual shepherds. It was good news indeed. Jesus is the Savior, the Christ for each one, all those who will receive him by faith. Abraham did. John 8:56. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Moses, Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Job 19:25-27, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. I will see him for myself with my own eyes. And for this I long for greatly. David, Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. David's son was also David's Lord. If you read through Acts 2:25 to 35, you'll see David there is called a prophet. And who did he prophesy about? The Christ. Jesus the Christ. The apostles. When Jesus asked on the road to Caesarea Philippi, who do men say that I am? Matthew 16:16, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. In John 17, in his high priestly prayer, in verses 6 through 8, Jesus, speaking to his Father, gives a definition of a Christian. John 17:6 through 8. This is what Jesus said. I've manifested your name to the men who have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. When you see that in Scripture, the Father sending the Son, that refers to Jesus' deity. Jesus' deity. In Jesus' day, the full realization of the authority of the titles Christ and Lord would have to wait until the resurrection. A question arises, is what was the theme of Peter's Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2, 14-41? The answer is given in verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus at his birth was already both Lord and Christ, for the one born of Mary is the same one who was raised in glory to be Christ and Lord. And so was and continues to be both God and man in two distinct natures forever. No doubt the readers of the four gospel accounts would have greater theological understanding by God's Spirit than the original hearers. We compare Jesus' earthly ministry and his preaching to over 3 million people. How many converts did he have? Probably 500. 1 Corinthians 15:6. And yet at Peter's Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2, 14-41, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 through 2:33, there were 3,000 converts. John 15:5, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And 1 Corinthians 12:3, unless the Spirit is in you, you cannot testify that Jesus is the Christ. So how about us, friends? A correct biblical response to Jesus requires Holy Spirit illumination. We need spiritual understanding to know who Jesus is from his word, the revelation, so we can understand God's word. Ephesians 1:17 and 18. It requires humility. 1 Peter 5:5. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Not Pharisaical pride, which denied that Jesus was the Christ. We also need to pray for faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. And it's a gift of God. And we need a sense of wonder, just like the shepherds in Luke 2:15 and following. Martin Luther said a deficiency of faith is made evident by a lack of wonder. Is that your response to Jesus today? Is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah? Do you have a sense of wonder about the babe in the manger? And have you prayed then for faith to believe in Him, if Jesus says Lord and Savior? You and I this Christmas season should be like the shepherds. We should pray and come to Jesus in faith, to that child in the manger, to worship and to adore Him, the one who came from the Father to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. Matthew 1:21, they will call His name Jesus. He will save His people from their sins. What child is this? We've looked at 3 points this morning. What do the Jews believe as to the Christ? What is the biblical revelation of Jesus as the Christ? And what is the biblical response to Jesus as the Christ? David Wells wrote a book in 1995 called God in the Wasteland. He says the fundamental problem in the evangelical world today is that God rests too inconsequentially upon the church. His truth is too distant. His grace is too ordinary. His judgment is too benign, His gospel is too easy, and His Christ is too common. His Christ is too common. When Jesus asked the Pharisees in Matthew 22:41-26, what do you say about the Christ? Whose son is He? They ho-hummed it. And they replied, the son of David. Merely a human being. A common human being. Even though He was in the Son of David. Jesus forced the issue with His enemies as to who He was. And Scripture is clear again that Jesus alone is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. In John 7:40-43, it says this. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard the saying, said, truly this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was division among the people because of Jesus. Jesus also forces the issue today with you and I, friends. Who do you say that I am? Jesus is saying to you and I. The gospel divides, the truth divides, and Jesus divides. You cannot remain neutral with Jesus, and especially here at Christmas time and with the Christmas story in Luke 2. It still is proclaimed throughout this land. It's still hard to avoid. In Jesus' day in Matthew 12, the crowds were amazed when they saw Jesus' works and miracles, and they wondered, is this the Son of David? That most common title for Jesus as the Christ in the first century. Is this the Son of David? But friends, being amazed or intrigued at who Jesus is still puts you in the same camp with those who hate Jesus and work to oppose His word, His gospel, and the story at Christmas time. Ultimately, it's as Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, you're either with me or against me, you either gather with me or you scatter. You're either with Jesus, confessing Him as Lord, or are you an unbeliever like the Pharisees, the religious establishment of Jesus' day? Again, we need to pray for Holy Spirit illumination if you're a non-believer here today. You need to pray for faith. You need to pray for forgiveness of sin. You need to come to the Savior, the Christ, this Christmas and make it truly a joyous season. Only then will you experience true satisfaction. Mind, heart, emotions, desires. Your life will have meaning not only now, but you will experience that forevermore and joy in Christ's presence. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's a rhetorical question, which the answer is obvious. There's no escape if you do not accept Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. It's exclusive with Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name given among men whereby we must be saved. To not have Jesus as the Christ and the Savior is to have Him as judge. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Your unbelief will earn you an eternity in hell. But thank the Lord for the end of Romans 6:23, And Romans 6:23 is the gospel in one verse. The end of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. And thank you for the Christ child, the babe in the manger. The babe is the Lord. The babe is the Christ. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each one of us would take an account of our relationship to you. Know that we either confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the one who rose from the dead to save his people from their sins, or we deny that, dear Heavenly Father, and we are headed for hell. It's an either or. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, each one of us, by your Spirit of truth, would truly pray for spiritual understanding, conviction of sin, forgiveness of sin, and also then a turning to Jesus, that your Spirit would indwell, that give faith and the joy of the season would be each one's here today. A complete satisfaction, mind, heart, emotions, desires. Know that forever it is settled where you will spend an eternity, where you spend it with Jesus. Pleasures forevermore, evermore, and joy everlasting. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.